the book of Exodus with me this morning, please. Chapter number 30, second book of the Pentateuch, written about 1400 B.C. The book of Exodus, chapter number 30, and we'll begin reading with verse number 22. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil, olive, and hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be a holy anointing oil, and thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table of all his vessels, and the candlesticks in his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his vessels, and the laver and his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, This shall be a holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall you make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. Father, anoint your holy word and this messenger. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You can be seated. We owe much to the children of Israel. Yes, we do. There's so much typology in the Old Testament that was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Little did they know that, and little does the Jew today know that. But this Old Testament text is loaded with the Son of God. Amen. Here, this holy anointing oil was so important to the children of Israel that even if you tried to do something like it yourself, you would be cut off from the nation and from the people. This oil was used to consecrate and set aside unto God certain things. Those who ministered in the office of the priest were consecrated themselves so that they could understand what holy things were all about. I do firmly believe that today we need preachers of the Word of God that are anointed by the Holy Ghost, that are consecrated unto God, that know the difference between the holy and the profane. The church is dying today because we have so much profane in our churches and so little holy. God is holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The cherubim cries that because that's what he sees. He sees this eternal, almighty, absolute being residing in his own element, needing nothing from anywhere at any time. Because he is holy, holy, holy. The composition of this is made up of myrrh, cinnamon, sweet calamus, cassia, and oil olive. If you look at all of these things, you'll find that they have a fragrance attached to them. This holy anointing oil had a sweet smell to it. The Bible tells us that the Lord smelled a sweet savor when Noah had built that ark and God had lifted him up above the judgments on this earth. The Lord smelled a sweet savor. What he was smelling was consecration and love and sacrifice and obedience and truth and faith. These have a sweet smell to them. The opposite of that is the dead animal on the road that you've smelled. And it is a repugnant, repelling smell. And it's the reason it's like that is because God wants you to know the difference between a sweet smell and something that stinks in dead decay. I am afraid that in so many churches today, when you go into them, you don't smell a sweet savor of the holy anointing of God and the separation of the Lord, but what you smell is a dead dog rotting, and you smell man's effort and his religion and his trying to approach God on his own. This holy anointing oil, according to Exodus chapter number 33, And verse number 31 is a holy oil unto me throughout all your generations. It's an oil that separates. It's an oil that consecrates. If there's anything that marks a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is separated and he is consecrated. He knows the difference between the holy and the profane. My Lord Jesus Christ, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, is holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. He was the one that was anointed by the Holy Ghost in the Jordan River and gave his life absolutely and completely to Almighty God. He was anointed by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, of course, is the one who gives the power. He's the one who comes with power. We should be all concerned in this house today as to the fact that we do not grieve or we do not quench the Holy Spirit of God. We've come to the point in this country where any kind of a manifestation of a spirit woos people. Anything that happens inside a building that professes to be the Holy Ghost moves people. And the reason for that is because they don't know consecration. They don't know what holiness is. The bottom line is they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture says in Romans chapter 15 verse 16 that we are sanctified by the Holy Ghost. In Romans chapter 14 verse 17. The scripture says that we have joy in the Holy Ghost. Even in the emergency room, you can have joy in the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, the scripture says we are the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. 2 Timothy 1:14, the Bible says we keep by the Holy Ghost. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse 4 that we can be partakers of the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 21 says we can be moved by the Holy Ghost. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This scripture did not come by any private interpretation or the will of man, as our brother sang about a moment ago. It was God breathed. It's the word of God. The scripture says in Jude verse 20 that we are praying in the Holy Ghost. Once you start praying in the Holy Ghost, dear friends, your prayer life will come alive. Once you start praying in the Holy Ghost, there'll be a desire down in your soul for something real. The two most important things you can do as a Christian is read your Bible and pray. If you're not doing that, you can chase everything all over this country, and all you'll get is an emotional fix, but you'll never get near to God. If you're not praying, you're playing. Amen. So the Bible gives us three things prohibited about this holy anointing oil. Number one, it's not to be poured upon the flesh of a human being. You don't just take this consecrated holy oil and pour it out upon flesh. You don't do that then. You don't do that now. God still does not pour his Holy Spirit out upon flesh. There's got to be something that happens in between. It's not to be put on a stranger. A stranger is unclean. He's not part of the commonwealth of Israel, nor is he part of the body of Christ. God does not pour his Holy Ghost out upon them. Not to be privately mixed, no imitation of it. First place, you wouldn't know how to do it. It's something that comes from Almighty God. If you, my dear Christian friend, today have ever encountered the Holy Ghost of God, and if you're a Christian, you have. If you've never encountered the Holy Ghost, you're not a Christian. But if you ever have and you know the genuine article, from that moment on, you're ruined for the rest of your life in this world. For you know the Holy Ghost of God. In the book of Leviticus chapter number 8, though, a remarkable thing is said. Leviticus chapter number 8 and verse number 23. It says that you are to take the blood and you are to put it upon the ear and the right hand and the great toe of the priest. You take that blood of the sacrificial offering and you put it on his ear, his right hand, and his great toe. Then in Leviticus chapter number 8 and verse number 30, he said, then you can pour the oil on that priest. You can anoint him. You see, my dear friend, the blood comes first and then the oil. Without the blood, the oil cannot be poured out. I've been covered by the blood and I've been washed in the blood, amen, of my Lord Jesus Christ. He has cleansed me to my soul, to my very being. And when that blood was applied, then he can apply the oil, amen. The world today wants the oil. They want the anointing. They want the power, but they don't know anything about the blood. The blood is what cleanses you and separates you and presents you a child of God before God. That Holy Spirit of God is God's gift to us. He's our guide. He's our leader. He's the one who brings us to Christ. He builds within us a desire for the things that are holy and sacrificed and sanctified unto the Lord. The Old Testament tabernacle was anointed. Did you know that that tabernacle was anointed and it was created there in the wilderness? Did you know where that tabernacle wound up? It wound up on top of Mount Zion. Did you know that tabernacle is a type of my Lord Jesus Christ who came and tabernacled among me, amen, in our midst? Think about that. He started in the wilderness and he wound up on Mount Zion. The Lord Jesus Christ started in the wilderness, and make no mistake about it, friend, he's going to wind up on Mount Zion. The ark was anointed. Wood and gold were brought together. And that ark contained the things, the rod, the tables of stone, and the manna. But you see, the joining together of wood and gold means that we have combined in one. For there's only one real ark of the testimony. There's only one that can bear the tables of the law within his soul. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So the ark is a picture of the burning, the uniting together of that which is of God and that which is of man. The table of showbread was anointed because it's the bread of life. We need that bread. Some of you are starving to death today. You've been saved, but you don't feed your soul. And you think a little 20, 30, 40, 50, 45, 50 minute hour fix on Sunday morning is going to get you through. It won't do it, dear friend. The lampstand was anointed because the word of God must be lit by the Holy Ghost. The scripture must be prayed over. The best Bible that you'll ever hold in your hand is the one that has tears on it that come from your soul. Have you ever prayed over the Bible and cried on the scripture and then had God open his word to you? There's nothing like it. On the two on the road to Emmaus, he said, did not our hearts burn within us when he opened to us the scripture? The lampstand was anointed because it's the light of the Holy Ghost. The altar of incense was anointed because it's praying in the Holy Ghost. The last place you saw before you entered into the Holy of Holies was the altar of incense. There you burned the incense, which represented your prayers going up to Almighty God. How did you get there? You got there from the altar of burnt offering. That's outside. It was anointed too, because that represents Calvary, where the Lord died. Then there was the laver that was anointed, clean, pure, purged, separated unto the Lord. God cleanses us today in a way that you can't do it with your hands. Pilate can wash. Pilate can do all the washing and say, I'm clean. I'm innocent of the blood of this man. He knew in his heart that the Lord Jesus was innocent, but that water cannot wash away his guilt, but the blood can. The oil represents power of all the graces of Christ bestowed on the believer. Let me say that again. The oil, which is the Holy Ghost, represents all the power of the graces of Christ bestowed on the believer. If you have the Holy Ghost, you have a burning desire to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ is everything or he's nothing. You will learn quickly that religion focuses on the incidental, not the source. Religion is all concerned about everything religious around the church, is so full of it, but not the source. Who's the source, preacher? There's only one source. There's only one fountain of life. There's only one true candlestick. There's just one bread of life. There's just one Lamb of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the heart and soul of this church. If he's not, I don't want any part of it. How about you? If the Lord Jesus Christ is not the heart and soul of this church, he's the ticking, he's the temperature, he's what we measure. If we come into this house and it's not about the Lord Jesus Christ and it's all about the work or the ministry or the men, then my dear friend, it's not the Lord's church. The Lord Jesus Christ is our very life. Amen. We live or we die by Him. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ is by far the most important name you will hear in this church. Not my name, His name. Listen, my dear friend, the name of the Son of God is exalted like the name of Jehovah in the Old Testament. God hath given Him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. I'll be there that day when all of creation comes before God Almighty, and they'll say the name Jesus, probably Lord Jesus Christ, and everything of Adam's creation will get down. They'll bow before the Son of God. Amen. I've already bowed, and I'll bow again before I leave this world. It's a privilege to me to bow. Amen. Get as low as I, if I could get under the carpet, I would. Amen. For I love Him with all of my heart and all of my soul. He's my life. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. Amen. He is. You don't know the essence of the Father, therefore you couldn't find Him. You don't know where the Father dwells. He's in the third heaven. Preacher, tell me where that is. You don't know how lost and blind we are without the Lord Jesus Christ. We are lost, dear friend. We are utterly lost, and we are utterly blind without the Son of God, and we are totally helpless without the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Holy Ghost dwells in you and is not grieved and quenched, He will set your soul on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not coming into some of these places that talk about the Spirit. They focus on the Spirit. They have all kinds of spiritual manifestations. I don't care anything about that. What do you think about the Lord Jesus Christ? Whose name is exalted in your midst? Which cross is lifted up? What name is above every name? I don't care anything about your spirits. Don't come to me showing me how spiritual you are. I'll tell you real fast how spiritual you are. If you exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, if that's who you're about, if that's the name you want to hear and not my name, somebody you want to hear about the Lord Jesus, then I say, that's the Holy Ghost. Amen. 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 The Holy Ghost will set your soul on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, use what I've said this morning. Glorify your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I love Him, I bless Him, I exalt Him, I adore Him. Today He's everything in my life. He's all that I could ever hope to be. He lifted me up from the pit of hell. He brought me out of utter darkness. Glory to God. Yes, He did. He reached down when He got me. But oh, Father, I thank You this morning because I know You. I know that I know that I know that I know You. And I love my Lord Jesus Christ. Help me, Lord, for the days left in this world. How much time I have, I don't know. You know that's good enough for me. But let every breathing, waking moment be dedicated to exalt my Lord Jesus Christ. In His holy name I pray. Thank You, Lord, for giving me strength. Yes. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. Now, while your heads are bowed this morning, if the Lord Jesus Christ is not the one that's really filling your life, oh, I know you think you're spiritual. I understand you think you've done something that's spiritual. But where is the Son of God in your life, dear friend? Where is the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? Do you like calling Him that? Do you like to say, Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. I mean, there's so many places around, all you hear is Jesus, 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 Jesus. Well, that is His name of humiliation. That's the name Gabriel said, call Him, for He shall save His people from their sins. Jesus, Savior, it's a beautiful name. But Lord is Kyrios. He's the Master. He's the Owner. That's what that name means. And Christ is the Anointed of God, the Mashiach, Christos, the Anointed One that I preached about this morning. Therefore, Christians love to say, Lord Jesus Christ, how we love You, how we adore You, how we exalt You, how we lift You up. Oh, don't you want to do that? Don't you want to lift Him up? Let your life do it. Let your testimony do it. Let your heart do it. It's such a privilege. He's such a blessed Savior. There's none more wonderful than Him. There is none like Him. He's one of a kind. Hallelujah to God. Would you like to come this morning and talk to Him? Come down here and start afresh. Come back to Bethel as Abraham did when he came back out of Egypt. Get that water of Bethlehem that David wanted to drink. Why don't you come back and do that? Come back to where it started, that place where you met Him and He changed your life. And let the Lord Jesus Christ become the Lord of your life once again. And there, my dear friend, you'll experience the power of God. There's nothing more sweeter. There's nothing greater. Oh, hallelujah to God. Bless his righteous name. Thank you, Lord. Now use this for your glory.